Especially if mostly has to leave Lourdes. And I will also do a closing to thank everyone.
Yeah. Great. Okay, Nomi and Mosi, I will ask you some questions about this coalition, of course, and does it have any benefits in being in the coalition after 20 years in the opposition? And also, I will ask some questions, and this is the opportunity, actually, Mosi, to tell about your position and the benefits of Meret being in this coalition. Because there's lots of things that you are managed to succeed to advance your agenda. And I don't think that people know about that. So you should talk about your bill that you passed today in the pre-calling. And you should talk about the committee that you are in the head of. And also talk about things that Tamar Zandberg is promoting and the things that Nitzan Horowitz is promoting, because I want to start with good things. And then I will ask you about all kind of things like Sheikh Jarrah and the violence of the settlers and what do you do about that? And Nomi, I will ask you in your point of view from an outside viewer, what do you think that Meretz should do? And what is the red line? So this is the question, actually. Okay, just to let you know. Nomi, we can't hear you.
I would like to respond to what you asked, Mosi, because then it's a ping pong and it's more interesting.
Of course.
Mosi has ideas about what we should do. I have ideas. But ask me, go to Mosi first, that's fine. And then ask me to relate to that because I'll give a different view of that.
Of course, of course. I'm going to ask you and
exactly it's a conversation.
Yeah, exactly this question. And I wanted to start with you, that you used to be part of many, I know, but I will make it the opposite way. I will ask Mosi first, and then I will ask you, in your point of view, how do you think Meretz is functioning in this coalition? So I think...
Okay, Ron, I'm changing your status to an attendee.
Okay, I'll be on Twitter. Toda rabba lechem.
Great.
And just to let you know, we have around 200 people who have signed up for today's webinar. And wow. we are expecting around 130 people join us live.
Great.
How many countries?
Oh, I didn't count from the country, but last time we have from 13 countries people joining us.
Really? I'm just wondering if a lot of people from Israel are tuning in.
Surprisingly, I think the last year we had somebody from Pakistan.
My family. No, just kidding.
I'm still with you.
Yes, I'm changing you, Ron.
Okay. So, okay.
All right.
Are you going online?
Yes, I will go live in a few seconds. And then... Karen will take over. And Karen, I will try to connect to Facebook in between. So I can give, once we get connected to the Facebook, you can start, Karen, then. Or I can send you a message.
Send me a message.
Okay.
Or if I see it, I will. But
sure. All right. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Dinesh.
And Karen, if you don't mind, I'll introduce Zulak in a few sentences, just that people will know.
Yeah.
And also give a small brief about, a quick brief about the political situation that led us to forming this complex coalition. So it will
I'll
take,
let you
I don't
do
know,
that.
5 minutes. Okay. It will take five, 6 minutes until I'm
try to keep it briefer, as brief as possible.
Yeah, okay.
Because I'm worried if
Mosi, I'll try and
do it because briefly. We highlight a lot sometimes, so it's
yeah. No problem. So do we know when we start?
People are joining us. I want to welcome everyone who's joining us. We'll start in a couple of minutes. Welcome, everyone. We're just letting people join us. We'll start in a couple of minutes. And I see there's a question. The webinar will go on for about an hour. Okay, so I'd like to welcome everyone. I'm Karen Shapiro, Vice President of Partners for Progressive Israel. Thrilled that you all are with us for this timely conversation. The Israel left in a center-right government. Is there a sweet spot between principles and pragmatism? With member of Knesset for Meretz, Mosi Raz, and political scientist Professor Naomi Kazan, moderated by Einat Ovadia, Executive Director of the Israeli human rights NGO Zulat. Before I introduce our panelists, let me note that Partners for Progressive Israel is an American not-for-profit organization dedicated to the achievement of a durable and just peace between Israel and its neighbors. We believe in the need to ensure civil rights, equality, and social justice for all of Israel's inhabitants. Partner seeks to deepen Americans' understanding of Israel's complexities so that we can better advocate for a progressive Israeli future. We're glad to be bringing this webinar to you. If you like it and want more programming like this, please visit our website after this webinar at progressiveisrael.org. And we appreciate contributions while you're there. It gives me great pleasure and deep honor to introduce our participants today. Naomi Kazan is Professor Emerita of Political Science and African Studies at the Hebrew University of Jerusalem and co-director of the Center for the Advancement of Women in the Public Sphere at the Van Leer Jerusalem Institute. Until recently, she served as Dean of the School of Government and Society at the Academic College of Tel Aviv-Yafo. In the past, she headed the Truman Research Institute for the Advancement of Peace at the Hebrew University of Jerusalem and was a visiting professor of government at Harvard University. Naomi served three terms, 1992 to 2003, as a Meretz Party member of the Knesset, where besides holding the position of deputy speaker, she sat on a variety of committees, including foreign affairs and defense, and the Committee for the Advancement of the Status of Women. Naomi served as president of the New Israel Fund from 2008 to 2012, and is a member of the International Board. She's one of the founders of the Israel Women's Network and continues to be active in human rights, peace, and women's organizations. Welcome, Naomi. Nemosi Raz is a member of the Knesset for the Meretz Party, elected earlier this year. He previously served as a Knesset member from 2002 to 2003 and from 2017 to 2019. Mosi was also Secretary General of Meretz from 2015 through to 2017. Mosi is a lifelong political activist promoting Arab Jewish coexistence in Israel, an end to the occupation, and environmental sustainability. In the 1990s, he served as Secretary General of Peace Now, where he organized peace demonstrations that drew tens of thousands and founded the movement's Settlement Watch Project. Later, he served as Director General of Givat Haviva, a nonprofit promoting a shared and egalitarian society for Arab and Jews in Israel. Following that, he co-founded and ran Kol HaShalom, a binational Palestinian-Israeli radio station that takes into account both Israeli and Palestinian narratives. He has also chaired Life and Environment, the umbrella network of Israeli environmental organizations, and co-founded the Association of Environmental Justice in Israel. Mosi was an officer in the Israel Defense Forces and released from reserve duty at the rank of major. He was wounded in the First Intifada while stationed in Gaza and also fought in the Second Intifada, First Lebanon War, and Second Lebanon War. Welcome, Mosi. And now our moderator, Inat Ovadia, is the executive director of the new Israeli NGO Zulat for Equality and Human Rights. Inat holds a BA in East Asian Studies and Chinese from Hebrew University and an MBA from the College of Management. For the past 10 years, she has served in various key positions in Israeli politics in both coalition and opposition roles. Inat has extensive management experience and is a leading left-wing social and political activist. She also speaks and teaches Chinese. So I am grateful for all of you being here, and I hand it over to you, Inat, to take on from here. And I look forward to a fabulous conversation I know we'll have.
Thank you very much, Karen, and good evening from Israel to all who joined us today for a really fascinating conversation on the Israeli left's center-right government. Is there a sweet spot between principles and pragmatism? Thank you, Nomi, and thank you, Mosi, for taking part in this important discussion. As Karen said, my name is Inat Ovadia, and I'm the executive director of Zulat for Equality and Human Rights. I'm sure you all heard about us, and still I will give you a quick brief on what we are doing. Zulat is a new activist think tank for advocacy and policy on equality and human rights. And it was founded by Zehava Galon. You probably all heard about Zehava 2 years ago. Zehava Galon is the former head of Meretz Party and the founder of B'Tselem. And I'm very happy and proud to say that to all the things that Professor Nomi Chazan is doing is also sitting in Zulat steering committee and very active in Zulat initiative. And Mosi Raz is one of our leading partners in advancing legislation proposals. And both of them are my friends for many years of activity in Meretz. So for the first 40 minutes, I will be posing questions to Mosi and Nomi. And after that, over the last 20 minutes of this session, we will open the session for questions from the audience. And if you would like to pose a question, please use the Q&A icon and not the chat. And just take under consideration that your microphones are off, so you won't be able to ask your questions. and I will read the questions that you want to ask. So let's get started. As you all probably know, the state of Israel went through a difficult period of political instability. We had four elections in Israel. And finally, after four elections, the period of Netanyahu's regime, after 10 years of extreme right-wing and messianic government, ended. In his time as a prime minister, his government deepened the racist discourse, deepened rifts in the Israeli society, led an inciting discourse against Arab citizens and Israeli human rights organizations. And on a personal note, I would like to say, after years of inciting reality that violated human rights, there's a real opportunity now with the new government that has been established to work and to promote equality and human rights. And now I think that the struggle for human rights and equality is more important than ever. And dear friends, as I said, there's a new government. Meretz has been an opposition party for more than 20 years until now, and has been a kicking party that led a clear voice against occupation, in favor of human rights and equality, against discrimination, in favor of religious freedom and freedom from religion, in favor of promoting equality for women, the LGBTQ community, and led a clear political voice for a two-state solution. And we are asking right now, for the first time in 20 years, Mossi, do you think that Meretz has the same voice right now sitting in the coalition? And it's no doubt that the constellation that was created, the only way to end Netanyahu's regime was to create such a complex coalition and a very new and maybe a little bit weird coalition. And Mossi, can you tell us, please, are there any benefits in being part of a coalition after 20 years in the opposition? Can you tell us how do you live with a Bennett, Lieberman, Gideon Saar, Ayelet Shaked, and others, shoulder to shoulder? And do you think that Meretz really succeeding in advancing its agenda?
Yes, good evening, everybody. Thank you, Anat, for the question. And thank you all for participating. I think that the answer is very complicated. I cannot say yes or not. But first, I really want to change a little bit, please, the question, because I don't think that the only reason to sit in the government is because of Netanyahu. I think there are some more reasons, and there are very good reasons not to support the government. I'm aware to that. So if you ask me, the main reasons to support the government, I think the first reason I should say is the alternative. Because if we don't support the government, the alternative is not Enat Ovadia, Naomi Chazan, Zehava Galon. The alternative is Bezalel Smotrich, Itamar Ben Gvir, Avi Maoz, and Netanyahu. Netanyahu is, you know, he is not the worst in the alternative. There are some guys that are way, way worse than him. So I think the first reason why to support the government is the alternative. If I know today that I have a better alternative, there is no reason to support the government, but I don't. The second reason is the uniqueness of the situation, first time that there is cooperation between Arabs and Jews in the coalition. it's not only the United Arab League, the Islamic party, actually. The fact that we in Meretz have three Palestinian, Arab-Palestinian representatives, one as a minister and two as members of Knesset. Labor has one, blue and white has one. Even Israel Beiteinu has a Arab-Palestinian Druze minister. So we have two ministers and we have a party. And by the way, interesting point is the majority of the Arab members of Knesset are in the coalition, very small majority, and majority of members, Jewish members of Knesset, are in the opposition. Small majority, but still, this is the situation, and it is so different from the 37 first years that only Jews take decisions. And we see that every day in the Knesset. Today, the United Arab League, the Islamic League, they were not happy about the decision of the coalition about the legislation of them. By the way, they were right. So they went out of the plenary and there is no majority to the coalition, and now we have to start talking. And we see that every day. And for my opinion, it is extremely important that Israel is seeing the first time in the history of the Israel that Arabs are part of the game, because they were not part of the game, never. And I do believe that even if in the future, we will not see governments without Arab representation, even if it's going to be a very small one, maybe only Druze, mainly, I don't know if we talk about right-wing governments, but I think that here, something is going to change forever. Maybe I'm too naive, but this is how I see that. So this is the second reason. The third important reason to support the government is that in spite of the fact that we are not effective in the big issues, and I'm aware to that, in the questions of the policy in the occupied territories, we are not effective. If we talk about the citizenship bill, they're not effective. And many other big issues, they are not effective. In spite of this fact, first time people are starting to talk about that. People now talk about settlers' violence more than ever in the history of the occupation. People now talk about the future of settlements, not more than all the years, but like they did not speak about in the last decade or two. We have this citizenship bill that we were against all over the years, and now we had to support, which is shame for us. But first time after 18 years, people outside this close circle of Meretz activists or human rights activists talk about that. What is the meaning of this bill? Who is going to suffer? What are the reasons? The discussion that we had about that is important because maybe it can help for the future. And maybe the four reasons, but this is, for my opinion, the least, not the most important for sure, a reason to support the government is the fact that, okay, we have the health minister. He's doing great work as health minister. This is at least what I think. If we talk about LGBT community, if we talk about women, if we talk about asylum seekers, if we talk about couples that one is Palestinian and one is Israeli, I think that the Ministry of Health now is becoming one of the most liberal everywhere in the world. We had the Environment Minister, and she's doing a great work. People start to talk here about environment. They never did. And I think she's very effective in that. And I think Isawi Frej is doing a great work, as you know, in relations with the Palestinians, with the Emirates, and so others. and work in the Knesset, that I see legislations. I can say about myself that I legislate more than ever. It's important. This is not the most important. On the other hand, I do remember that we have to vote against and against, again and again, against things that we believe in, and we have to support again and again things that we don't believe. I was quoted that a few weeks ago on Wednesday, I had four legislations of myself that I had to vote three times against myself and only one time in support of my legislation because the coalition did not support. But this is coalition, and this is high price. I am not ignoring that. And I want to tell you, in order to show that I understand that this is very high price, in the last 50 years in Israel, every party in the center left, including Meretz, who was part of the coalition, got in the elections after that worse results than in the elections before. And it is terrible. I'm not saying that in the opposition it was always good, but in the coalition it was always bad electorally wise. So there is something in us that, you know, our voters are like more supporting opposition than coalition. We want to vote for what we believe and be a little bit more less pragmatic. And I feel that. I want to tell you, for me, I enjoyed way more being in the opposition. But the question where I am more effective, I am not sure what is the answer. And I think that, and maybe this is my last sentence, sorry for talking too much, that the main question should be in the future. What is the alternative? Because if the alternative is Ben-Gvir and Smotrich and all these guys, then I'm willing to pay very high price. But if we have a little bit better alternative, then we have to think again. Thank you.
Thank you, Mossi. Nomi, I'm sure you want to relate to this, and I would like to ask you, as a former member of Knesset that used to be part of many Meretz public struggles, how does Meretz, in your point of view, as an outside observer, function?
I'll answer the question by relating to Mossi's comment, but first I'd like to say hello to everybody and to thank Partners for Progressive Israel for hosting this panel, because it brings up real dilemmas that are dilemmas not of the 1990s, but of the third decade of the 21st century, and not only in Israel, but in other countries as well. And I want to pose the paradox of the dilemma, maybe in terms of directed primarily to an American audience. This government, it's called the change government, is like having Ilham Omar and the most far right congresswoman, I believe a woman from Georgia, okay, in the same government. And then you ask the Democrats, and for that matter, the Republicans, how are they managing with this kind of juggling? So I don't envy Mossi. Every single day, he has to keep examining how much more can he hold the line and explain it to himself in terms of where I know he's coming from. And for those of you who don't know Mossi Raz, it's really important for me to say or to tell you that he has been consistently since the early 1990s, one of the absolutely consistent and persistent combatants in a nonviolent way for peace and justice in Israel and Palestine. And he's sitting now, and every day he has to decide, how do I vote and why? I agree with Mossi on 2 points, which I'd like to perhaps emphasize. There is no question in my mind that the change government formed last summer is a breakthrough government in terms of bringing Palestinian citizens of Israel into the center of decision-making in Israeli politics. And I don't believe that will change whoever is in power in the future. That's a seismic shift. It's very important. And I agree with him too, that our ministers are doing a good job, our ministers being Meretz ministers and others. Many of are doing a very good job in their specific areas. But that's not the issue we're discussing today. We're talking about a different issue. So I will relate to 2 points that I think are major. Number one, how much influence can you have if you can make mild changes on fairly marginal issues, but not succeed in making a dent on the critical questions which are on the agenda? And those are the deepening of the occupation, the lack of commitment to a negotiated settlement, the growing inequality within Israel, and its socioeconomic, but it's also cultural and religious. How much can you pass a small law and not have any impact on the major issues on the agenda? I don't know where the tipping point is, but I do know that a political party with a very clear vision of the type of Israel that it wants to see come into being can't afford to fudge the core of the politics that are being done. And maybe I'll add a little comment. Politics, daily politics, and as I mostly knows this very well, is not about intentions. It's not about raising a discussion. It is about results. It is about the facts that you create through the use of power that you have at your disposal. Now, if the situation is getting worse rather than better, I ask whether or when does one have to ask, do we want to be a part of it? So that's point number one. And point number two, I'll do very quickly. Politics is about alternatives, but it's not only about the alternatives we're used to. It's also about the alternatives we can create. And on the key issues, I'm not sure that this government is better than its predecessors on human rights, on civil rights. I mean, I'm afraid to talk on the phone now. And I'm not the only one. On social justice, not to speak on about peace or security, is it better than its predecessors? I'm not sure. So to say the alternative is worse is to suggest that what we had before with Netanyahu and the right wing and the far right and the Haredim is the only alternative to what exists today. I'm saying if it's not good, we have to change it. And a progressive political party, its job is to create that change. And it should do it from whatever vantage point it is working in. By the way, I made much better laws than the opposition and coalition. And Mossi passed a law this afternoon with a member of the opposition, because otherwise it wouldn't have been able to pass. So I congratulate him on the law. But we know legislating is not the question. Changing is the question. I'll stop here.
Thank you very much, Nomi, for very important things. I just want to remind the audience that if you want to ask a question, you can pose the question in the Q&A icon in any time. And please do it as soon as possible if you want to ask a question, so I'll be able to read the question and to see what you want to ask the panelists. And this, the thing that you are saying, Nomi, actually leads me to my other question, it's not going to be very, very simple question. As you said, and you knew, Mossi, and Meretz knew right from the beginning that this coalition, which in practice has a majority of for conservative right-wing position, will not advance any process for long-term solution with the Palestinians. And yet you hope that you could stop the settlers' violence in the occupied territories, and that you could stop the establishment of Aviatar outpost, and that you could prevent the looting and violence in Sheikh Jarrah. But in practice, it seems like what is happening now is no different from the reality that existed in Netanyahu's time, just like Nomi said. And I want to ask you both, this is the reality. What should and could be done in this reality? What Meretz should do to oppose those things and to go against? And that the voice that Meretz had before will be heard again. Any of you? Mossi.
No, me. First, I have to say, Anat, that the fact that we knew that policy vis-a-vis the occupation is going to be exactly the same like under Netanyahu is worse than what people think, because what people say, they say, okay, these people in the right wing want annexation, and these people in the left wing, they want a peace agreement, so we will not do not annexation and not peace agreement. But it is not the middle way between us, because in these years, the occupation is becoming deeper and deeper. Settlements activity is going on. We are going to face more settlements and more settlers. Yes, we can stop new settlements apart of Fyatar that I'm not really sure that we can prevent right now. It is okay, but I am not sure that for long. And we have to say, not because of the right wing, because of Gantz, that for my opinion, is part of the right wing, but he's the most problematic person in this government. Anyhow, it is not a compromise between the two sides. We have to know that. We accepted the right wing policy. This is one, this is the highest price that we pay in order to be in this government. And this is why we have to think about that all the time. Now, for your question, I think the answer is that we have to talk about that more and more, and we have to be everywhere. We have to be there with the activists against the occupation more and more. I think we are doing that. I think that we are doing that even more in more than in the past, but it is still not enough. I'm taking I go every week to Sheikh Jarrah, but I'm going to take my colleagues next week to come together to see to meet Fatma Salem. The Salem family is going to be actually, there is a decision of the court that they have to leave during March in order to give their properties to the Jewish buyer. The most of the work that I am doing in this issue is not coming every week to the demonstration, but it is more secret work that I am doing vis-a-vis the people in the government that take decisions. You can imagine that most of the activity is with people around Prime Minister, not with him, like with the foreign minister and others. This take a lot of my time, and I hope that I can help. I'm not sure. So if you ask what we can do, the question is very difficult to me, and the answer is very difficult for me, because I cannot say okay, I have a solution, I have a receipt. The only thing that I can say, and I know that it is not enough, is doing more of the same. And part of what we are doing is not known to the people, and it's better that it is not known, because some of the things has to be secret with ministers, and because of this is not known, we get a lot of criticism, and it is good that people criticize us, because we need this criticism to remember where we came from and what is the most important issue for us. We are going to face this problem in the coming years.
Thank you very much, Mosi. I'm sure, Nomi, you have things to say about this, and I hope you have other alternative to suggest.
Mosi and I think you two, Einat, are coming from the same place.
Yeah.
Where sometimes there's disagreement is on strategy and how you deal with the situation, but not on the basic values. And perhaps I'd like to demonstrate that for a minute. Mossi's in the Knesset, he's a super parliamentarian. But on the issue of Sheikh Jarrah and house demolitions and settlement activity, he is most effective in doing what he did when he wasn't in the Knesset, and that is organizing demonstrations, being there, being present, speaking out, mobilizing people. That's what he's done for the bulk of his life. you don't have to be a member of Knesset to do that. Maybe periodically you can touch on something. But frankly, this situation today, in my opinion, is different because the old option of a two-state solution of separation in the classic concept really doesn't exist today as it did perhaps in the 1990s, perhaps in the 1990s during the Oslo period. There's too much oppression and repression on the one hand, and too much intertwining of Palestinians and Jews on the other hand. So that needs modification. We need to think in different terms about how to ensure Israeli self-determination alongside Palestinian self-determination in an open way, which involves interchange and not abrupt division, because it's impossible practically. And what is the role of Meretz and others under these circumstances? The position that Mossi represents in many respects is, let's improve. We can improve the situation by blocking terrible things, maybe, and perhaps improving at the margins, at the fringes, okay? But if one improves and improves and improves, will there be an end to occupation? Because frankly, I think all of us can agree that the occupation is absolutely inhumane towards the Palestinians, but it's destroying Israel as well. Okay? The alternative to that is to understand there may be something terribly the matter with the system, and the system needs to be changed. And that the role of progressives with a lot of patience, although as I get older, my patience sort of wears thin. With a lot of patience is to show the road, to be absolutely adamant that one has to pursue slowly but surely a course of change and work on bringing in more and more groups into this path and trajectory. It's a different strategy. And those are the choices. At some point, all of us are going to have to make a decision about it.
Thank you very much, Naomi. So the final question is, after hearing that Meretz is sitting in a coalition that is passing a new racist citizenship law, and there are rumors about Gantz wanting to connect the illegal outpost to electricity, and all the other things that we said that are supposed to be in the core of the work that Meretz always was against. So where is the red line? I think that maybe now we will pass to questions that people already posted. And let me see. I will read you some questions. I won't read all the questions. I will pick some of the questions as best as I can. Okay, so we have here from a Jonas Zhang, is the Amnesty International report about the apartheid discussed within the government? Mossi, that must be a question for you.
Of course, the answer is no. Even more important reported initiatives, say the Arab League peace initiative, was never discussed in the government, in spite of the fact that it exists 20 years. So, of course, to my knowledge, there was no discussion about that in the government, not anywhere. Not in the Knesset, and not in a committee of the Knesset, and not in any place that I know.
Okay, another question from John Mitchell. Given Meretz's ideology for justice, can they invoke justice on a practical level? For example, Nitzan Horowitz, the Minister of Health, would he enact equality on income between Jews and Palestinians, Palestinian Arabs, within the health department, as the discrimination in income exists through Israel? Do you want me to read the question again?
The main is income of the people who work in hospitals and things like that. Is that the question?
Yeah.
Probably there is a difference, but I believe that the difference is very marginal in this income, what, between doctors who work in, or nurses who work in hospitals. But and of course, if there is a difference in income, if there is a gap, it's not legal. So maybe it's with some, what we say, I don't know. I don't think that it's really exist, but it is. We should check it, and maybe it can help in that.
Okay. Now we have another question for Nomi from Jerry Sarota. Following on Nomi's point about the absolute sense of classic two-state solution and the need for alternative in there, a need for a model of Israeli Jewish Palestinian Arab Party that has this as part of its platform, as some in Meretz attempt to do before the last election. If you can please write questions, it will be better instead of writing some comments, so we'll be able to really answer them.
I'll address that. By the way, some of the members, some of the parties in the joint list, which is in the opposition, are formerly Arab Jewish parties, most notably Hadash, the main party of the in the joint list. But Mossi and I actually have been involved over the years, and most recently before these elections, in an attempt to create a joint Jewish-Arab list in order to propel a framework, to create a framework that could propel some of the ideas that we've been discussing more effectively. Let me emphasize that, and what Mossi said right at the beginning of this conversation, Meretz members of Knesset, there are six members of Knesset, three are Arab and three are Jewish. In many respects, the composition is, sorry, did I get that
two
wrong?
Two and four.
Yeah. In many respects, Meretz is striving in that direction, but it won't happen in Meretz. It will only happen as a result of an attempt of groups to form such a coalition. And it hasn't succeeded, mostly for personal political reasons, but also because there hasn't been that much of a demand. I think it might emerge eventually as the political constellations begin to change, okay? What's much more important is to make sure that there is Arab representation in the government, in the coalition, regardless of who is in power, okay? And that it becomes a norm. It's a little bit like gender politics. The first one or two women were always considered to be unusual and unfortunately representative of all women. Now there are so many women in the government. This coalition has 9 women ministers, and each one is different. And after a while, you just get used to it. And we're nearing that stage. We haven't achieved it yet on Arab and Jewish, or for that matter, I'm not sure we've achieved it entirely in terms of Ashkenazi and Mizrahi, or the involvement or incorporation of Jews from Ethiopia into the corridors of power in Israel.
Thank you very much. A question maybe for both of you from Richard Hyman. I hope I say your name right. Is there any movement to changing the electoral system, which inevitably leads to the formation of large and widely coalitions?
Naomi, I think you're
think?
I think the answer is no, but now.
But maybe you can talk about the electoral system in Israel making this coalition.
Israel is what's known as a pure proportional representation system, with the entire country being a single constituent. And to get into the Knesset, you need now pass the 3.25% threshold, which means roughly, Mossi corrected me. Mossi is a mathematician. He always corrects me, my math. Roughly, I would say 120,000 people to pass the threshold, okay? Most Israelis believe they have that many friends and relatives. You know, this kind of system creates multi-partyism. But can I rephrase the question to answer it? I agree with Mossi. It will be very difficult to change the system now. At most, it may be possible. At most, I think, to put a personal preference into the system. That's not the question. It's not the system that's ruining politics. It's the fact that Israeli society is so deeply divided now that the election mirror, they reflect the various ideas, ideologies, groups that together compose Israel. One can't start engineering systems in order to get results that are easier to deal with. One has to deal with the root issues of why there's no social solidarity. Why is there such inequality in Israeli society? Why are we less tolerant of each other and less respectful of each other? If we deal with these issues, there'll be fewer parties in one form or another, and they'll get along better than they're doing now. So political engineering is what authoritarian leaders do in order to try to engineer the results, but it doesn't change the situation. I sometimes wonder if there is an analogy between that and gerrymandering in the United States. You can gerrymander to your heart's content, but what you want to do is change the causes for the intense political polarization that exists in our societies today.
Okay, we go to a, let's go to a, our last question for a, tonight or today, depends where you sit. This question is from Dave Cook. Given the result of the last four elections, as it relates to the weak support for progressive slates, Meretz, etc., is there any reason to believe the population as a whole supports the priorities of the left? In other words, if there are majority for a conservative right-wing position in Israel, or can we formate something else that supports the priorities of the left?
I'll make Mosi's life easier and answer in one sentence, if I may. When you've tried everything else and didn't work, you just may opt for what you didn't think you would ever vote for. And therefore, there's always hope. You just have to make sure that you can make it happen.
Yes, I agree.
Okay, so it's time to bring, I think it's time to bring this conversation to an end. Nomi, Mosi, if you have anything else you want to say or add, this is the chance for a final one minute statement. Mosi, would you like to say something?
Just thank you, Anat and Nomi and the organizers and the listeners, viewers. Just to say that, yes, it is a very difficult question. Should we be in the coalition or not? And this is a question that I ask myself every day. Right now, I do think that it's better for us to be in the coalition, but I'm not sure. Maybe I'm going to think like that in the coming 4 years or 3 years and 8 months until the elections. And maybe I'm going to change my mind next week if I see things different on the ground.
Nomi?
Again, very briefly, I've been inside and I've been outside. I've seen the value of trying to influence via civil society and via the Knesset from the establishment and from outside the establishment and from the academy. And each one has its advantages and disadvantages. What I think Mosi is saying in his humble way, and what I'm trying to convey as well, is very simple and at the same time very profound. And that is, we can't continue to live in the environment that is of our own making. We have to alter it. And we have to use every nonviolent tool at our disposal to do so. So everybody has something to contribute. And let's keep working together to achieve the goal of truth and justice while we're still around. That's
thank you, Nomi. So I think that we will all have to wait and see what will be the issue that that should be Meretz's red line, and should they stay or should they go, as Ron suggested. And thank you for joining us today. Let me just hand things back to Karen Shapiro for some closing remarks.
Thank you, Einat. And thank you, Mosi and Nomi, for this wonderful, important discussion. We have to keep striving. You work so hard, and we here at Partners for Progressive Israel and here in the United States appreciate all that you do. And I want you to know we're there with you as best as we can. And if we can ever do anything, let us know. We have to never give up hope. We have to keep striving. And that we will always do. So thank you very much for the work you do day in and day out. And we know it's not always easy. Thank you to the staff of Partners for Progressive Israel, Dinesh, Ron, and Julie. And thank you all for joining us. We hope that you've enjoyed the webinar. We are glad to be bringing this program to you. To learn more about Partners for Progressive Israel, our future programs, please go to progressiveisrael.org. And while you are there, we would greatly appreciate a contribution. Thank you all. Be safe, be well, and we look forward to future conversations.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good evening.
Bye. Bye.